Finally, we broke the streak.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Auburn finally breaks the streak. Not a good one either. It's not a good streak you want to have, is not having a first-round pick since 2020. Finally get one on the board with Keldrick Faulk. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about potential first-round picks in the future, like the 2027 and beyond draft. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to give away our Jack Arse of the Week. And I've struggled on this one, but you know what? I'm going to let it rip. We're going to have fun with it. Let's jump right in. Keldrick Faulk, finally, man. Draft day has been not very fun for Auburn for quite some time. We've been getting picks. Like last year, I think there was three or four. The year before, there was five, I think. I had 2 years in a row, I think we had five picks. But you're just not in that first day conversation. And everybody knows, you know, the true mark of like an elite program, the true sales point of coming to a school is being able to get those first round picks, being able to get those first and second round guys, get those guys into those top rounds. And it's just been a struggle, man. It's just been a struggle. And it's not necessarily like Auburn hasn't had talent on a lot of these teams. Like I said, you've had a couple of drafts where, you know, you've had five guys go, but you just haven't had those marquee guys. And Keldrick Faulk, I think he obviously ends that. Well, I think we penciled him in as a potential first rounder, like maybe when he was flipped, maybe when Hugh flipped him as soon as he got here, he had the potential to be a first round guy. Defensive ends are always a premium, along with a couple of other positions. So you knew if you got him in, he's a five star. If he can live up to his billing, he's going to be right in the running to be one of those top picks. I think there's a lot of discussion back and forth on, did he live up to his potential? Could he have done more, this, that, and the other in regards to his career at Auburn? And I don't think necessarily the stats are just overwhelming. Like I don't think he has necessarily the statistical resume, maybe, if that makes sense. But on the same sense, you got to understand the context around what all he was asked to do. And he was able to play, you know, multiple positions. And I think he was a leader. He stuck with Auburn when he probably could have gone, you know, he probably could have gone to a lot of different places and made a lot of money, you know, at, you know, different schools, especially with, you know, the way NIL is. And again, the premium on those edge players. He did prove, I think, a couple of theories, wrong. So, number one, small school guys can be successful. Highland Homes, well, I think, 2A-ish, maybe 3A. Small school guys can have success. They'll find you. He obviously had some high school success, played a lot of different positions, and it translated. It brought him over to Auburn and kind of gave him, maybe even gave him a little step up. Of course, being 6'5", you know, 250, 260 pounds as a true freshman doesn't hurt either. And then the number two theory that it proves wrong is that you don't have to win to be found. You know, there was some talk that, you know, winning is us, Auburn not winning is costing draft pick, costing guys draft spots, and potentially fringe guys maybe, but for the most part, if you're elite, they're going to find you. if you're elite, they're going to look past your team win-loss record, and they're going to look at the impact that you have on the game. And I thought Keldrick, that was the thing about him, is like he could flip a switch, and I say flip a switch as if he played plays without the switch flipped. And it may just be that for that those particular snaps, his responsibility was not necessarily one that would create a lot of havoc. It could have just been simply setting the edge, or could have been simply controlling a couple of gaps, or potentially reading, you know, certain things versus just pinning your ears back and going. Because when he would do that, when he was either when he would do that or when he was called to do that, I thought he was very, very successful. And you could see that burst. I think about the Cal game in 2024. We couldn't do anything right on offense. We were just turning the ball over at an unprecedented rate. And there was a part in the game where you just needed the defense to get the ball back. You felt like, man, if we just could get it back one more time. And then I think he had back-to-back sacks and maybe even created a fumble. I'm not sure if we recovered it or not, but he just said, I'm going to end this drive. And he got back there and sacked Mendoza, who was the number one pick, two times. There were a lot of times like that. Again, he's not going to light up your stat sheet with, you know, 9-10 sacks. But I think that he lived up to the billing like 100%. Now you're hoping his little brother can be just as good. Or just, hey, I tell you what, just give us 70%. If you give us 70% of Keldrick, you're probably going to be at least a third-round pick. So really, really good stuff. I mean, your last first-round picks, I think, were Derrick Brown and Noah Igbinoghene. Both went in the first round in that 2020 of that 2020 draft class. And, man, it's just been a dry spell since. Had some really good players. I was looking back, and boy, we've wasted some really good players too. I mean, Chandler Wooten had a pod that we dropped yesterday. His landing on the plains, his episode talking about kind of where Auburn went wrong, like where football, like where the slide started, like where the divide between offense and defense, where the chemistry broke, and where everything started to unravel. There was a lot of NFL players on that roster, man. You had Derek Hall, you had Colby Wooden, you had Jarquez Hunter, you had Tank Bigsby, Bo Nix. Like you had talent really hasn't been a huge issue. Maybe that first Hugh Freeze roster was pretty rough. But talent, I mean, Auburn has just always been able to attract, you know, talent. But you just haven't done a ton with it. So again, it's really good to see Keldrick Fogg get that done. Number 31, snuck in the first round. I was getting kind of nervous here for a while. Had a couple of trades, 31 to the Tennessee Titans. So if you're a Tennessee fan, you're fired up, obviously. How do y'all pick your NFL teams? I struggle with that. I try to make myself be a fan of, you know, the Falcons because they're right there. I just can't get into it. I follow players more than anything. So, like, I've been watching the Broncos just because I like watching Bo Nix play. How do y'all pick your NFL team? We're going to talk about potential future round picks, like guys on the roster we think that could potentially go number one here in just a second. But before we do that, we got to give a shout-out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. Got my appointment today, and guess what? I'm not dreading it at all. I'm going to go get an oil change. I'm going to go get a rotation, and they're going to give me a full 360-point inspection absolutely free, and they're going to be honest with me and say, hey, we see this. We see this. This is probably more serious than this one, and so on and so forth. One time they told me, hey, you might want to get this looked at on your next oil change. So it's not just pound you and take all your money in one visit. They're going to be honest. They're going to tell you how things need to be. and you can trust that that's the right information. So show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. And then buyauburn.com. I'm going to start doing business call outs for everyone that signs up. And one of the first ones to sign up, Alpha Insurance, Murphy Roberts Agency in Auburn, Alabama. If you need a good insurance agent and you want to make sure they're Auburn folks in Auburn, there you go. Right there by Publix Shopping Center in Cary Creek. So if you want to list your business and get a business call out, it's the cheapest advertising you can have. It's less than a dollar a day. And you know that the website and you know the message is going to be blasted every single day to a large number of Auburn fans. So do business with the Auburn family. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. Let's talk about potential first-round picks, okay? If we're going to – we got Keldrick on the board. Is there somebody potentially next year that could be a first-round pick or you know, the year following? And we'll just kind of walk through that. So, like, what are the positions? Let's start with quarterback. You got Byron Brown, who obviously has incredible production at a lower level of competition. He does have a unique throwing motion that I'm sure that there's going to be scouts that I'm not sure the right term to go with. Some scouts that may question it or be concerned about it. Okay. So, but how do you overcome? That's the word I was looking for. How do you overcome funky mechanics production? If he's able to go and put up a season similar or equal to the season he had last year from a production standpoint and limits turnovers, which he's done a lot, done very well throughout his career. If he can do that, they're not going to care about his throwing motion. They're not going to care at all. I mean, there's some guys in the NFL that have had success that don't just throw it perfectly, don't throw it so pretty every single time. It's going to take a lot, okay? He's going to have a similar season that he had. Next year's class, I feel like, is pretty deep. The quarterback class is pretty deep, so there's going to be some competition. But sometimes those deep classes, people start freaking out about having to get a quarterback in the first round. So he could sneak in to that back half. And, I mean, if I can go get a 6'3", 6'4", 235-pound quarterback that can run, you know, somewhere in the 4.6s, good arm, and led a team that's had no pulse to, you know, a decent record and produce really well, then you know, I'd love to snag somebody like him in the back half. So outside shot, maybe you got a chance with Byron Brown, but he's going to have a big year, I believe. Quarterbacks, offensive tackles, I don't know. Sometimes with offensive tackle, you have to have hype coming in. Like, you have to have hype going into that season. It's hard to just discover one in 1 year. You got two draft-eligible tackles in Joseph Simmons and Stanton Ramil. But again, you know, Joe is a senior. Stanton's got a couple more years. Stanton maybe could be one in the future. Joe may not have the hype coming in to get him in that first round, so probably not any luck there. Pass rushers, probably not anybody in this year's class, but maybe next year's class, if Jared Smith, if the light stays on with him and he continues to progress, you know, next year, he could be in that conversation. He needs to have a good year this year. He'll have the hype going into the following year. And then, obviously, it's one of those positions of need. So that could be someone that definitely comes off the board early in the 2027 draft. Not this year's draft because he's not eligible. And then wide receiver. This is a fun one because – Keyshawn Singleton, to me, screams NFL wide receiver. He's got another year. I think he's only a junior, so he, in theory, could play 2 years. But at 6'3", 215, and his athletic ability, he could have a big year. Like, if he were to have a big year, he could be one that kind of, you know, turns heads. Like, there was five wide receivers taken in the first round of this year's draft. He had a really good year last year. Again, if you can do that in the SEC, now he may be one that blooms late. Like, he would have to have a big year, like, from the beginning, and then start to kind of catch some attention and just continue. If he can cap that 1,000-yard mark, that 1,000-yard mark, he might have a chance to sneak in. I think that's probably all, though, off of this team. So, again, you're talking about there's no, like, for sure guy, I think. So you may, unless you have some guys that have big years, you may miss out on this year. You know, you would think that Xavier Adkins would be one that would be a no-brainer. You know, being a first team All-American last year, but linebackers typically aren't super high value in the NFL draft for whatever reason. So even if he's one of the best, I guess NFL guys feel like they can get a lot of linebackers, and they're just sort of like a dime a dozen. Now, I don't think Xavier Adkins is a dime a dozen, but I'm just going off of what the NFL typically does at that particular position. So we'll see. There's definitely some potential, but there's some guys that got a lot of work to do. The following year, 2027, is when you can have some dogs taken. You could have some defensive backs. You could have some defensive linemen. You could do some work in that 2027 draft. All right, now it's time for everybody's segment, Jack Arse of the Week, brought to you by Jack Arse Rentals over in, I think it's located in Columbus, Georgia. So if you're in the East Alabama, Columbus market, and you need a scissor lift or a mini X or a skid steer or anything to do a big project, but you don't want to have to go buy all that equipment and you think you can do it yourself, you just need a rental, this is the place for you. Go call 762-208-5013. Use coupon code BARN10 at checkout online or in person for 10% off your order. Give JJ a shout. All right, this one is this one's tough, okay? Look, I'm going to throw them both under the bus, okay? Because it takes two to tango. But one in particular, one thing in particular is so brazen out of the two. And I'm talking about Diana Rossini and Mike Vrabel. And Zach, I'm sorry that I'm talking about your boy, Mike. But this whole relationship, let's put it there. This whole relationship is blossoming so many layers that just blow my mind. Number one, it ain't like it's clearly not been a one-time thing. Like, this is an extended relationship, which to me would be exhausting. how do you live that life, that double life like that, and be a football coach and have a career and have kids? Like, how do you do that? How do you even find the time to do that? I love that there's pictures now of them at a casino together, and they thought, like, Let's go to Biloxi because, you know, maybe no one will recognize us there. Like, kudos. Like, the effort was there to pull this thing off. But the most recent revelation to me is where Rossini, to me, just jumps way ahead in the Jack Arse of the Week race. And it goes, and it involves, and I hate to bring this into it, but it's mind-blowing. It really is. So there are pictures, like, they clearly have been in a relationship for about 6 years, okay? And she has a four-year-old son, and she named him Mike, okay? So now the question is, could it be, and again, this is getting super gossipy, you know, put two and two together. You know what the talk is now. So it's not, I'm not necessarily saying that is the case, but you named him Mike and you were clearly having a relationship outside of your marriage multiple years prior. That is the wildest thing I've ever heard of. And then, like, you go, like, all the tweets are resurfacing, like, old tweets, and it's, like, sending up red flags. I just, I'm blown away by that whole situation. It exhausts me to even read what's going on. Like, to even think about what they had to do to pull this off is just gives me anxiety thinking about it. If you're going to do it, you know, if you're going to do it, you're going to have to pay the consequences. And it's going to be, I feel like it's only scratched the surface. So I'm going to give them both the award for Jack Arse of the Week. And boy, this is not fun. Like, you want to be anybody but them right now. Twitter is relentless. Social media is relentless. And some of them are funny. They're very, very funny. But regardless, they're paying the price right now, and deservedly so. So, guys, I hope y'all have a great week. A lot of fun this week. And, you know, it's talking season. So buckle up. Get ready for some lists. Get ready for some hot takes. Get ready for some reactions. The Barn is the place for you for Auburn content, even in the dead time. Hey, real quick, let me give you an SEC Golf Championship scoring update. Your boy, Jackson Koivun, is now leading the individual at 12 under. So he's got a two-shot lead in the individual. And then the team leaderboard on the team score, you got a five-shot lead in first. Now, winning first in the team after today doesn't mean anything, okay? It just means that you're the number one seed in match play. So if it ended right now, see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Auburn's first round match play would be versus South Carolina. So you play, it goes into an 8-team match play tournament after today. So there you go. Your boys are in the team lead right now. And then Jackson Koivun is two shots clear of the individual, which if he wins the individual, that's just unreal. Just unreal to do a three, you know, to have a three-peat. So let's follow that today and see how that one finishes up. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.